Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hello there and welcome to the Gary Zimek Show. My name is Gary Zimek and I'm so excited to be with you here for another week. Today we're going to look at the Mass readings for the solemnity of the Epiphany of the Lord. The light of the world shines in the darkness. And let's face it, we often look around us and we see a lot of darkness. The light doesn't make the darkness go away. But what does the light do? The light shines in the darkness. You need darkness in order for light to be really appreciated or effective. You know, I think a lot of times what we want is for the darkness around us to go away. Well, we live in a fallen world. That's not going to happen. But with the light of Christ, and this is the critical, crucial point for each one of us to recognize, with the light of Christ shining through us and in us, we can illuminate the area around us. It sounds idealistic, doesn't it? It sounds like pie in the sky, wishful thinking, but it is really, really true. This is as true as it gets. You and me, we can make a difference by letting Christ shine through us and affecting those around us. And that's what we're going to talk about on today's program. We're still in the Christmas season, so let me say Merry Christmas. Until next week, we are celebrating Christmas. The Christmas season officially ends with next week's celebration of the baptism of the Lord. And then we enter back into ordinary time for a little while, and then you know what's coming next. That's right. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves, but before you know it, we're going to be in Lent once again. But right now, the focus is on the fact that the Savior of the world is here. He's here. He wants to become more involved in your life and my life, and he wants to work through us. And I really think that's the key point that the Holy Spirit is giving me today. Jesus not only wants to light up your world, but he wants to light up the world around you. So let's talk about it today. Let's talk about this idea of the Epiphany when Jesus appeared or made himself manifest, not to just those in Bethlehem, not to just those around him, but to those around the world. I mean, that's really what this solemnity represents. The fact that Jesus is the Savior, not just of a chosen race, not just of the Jews, not just of the chosen people. He is everyone's Savior. So it's up to you and me, number one, to embrace him as our Savior, and number two, to share him with others. So why don't we do this? Let's pray, and then we'll talk a little bit and get right into the show. Okay, please join me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to be in your presence, Father. Even though we can't see you, we know that you are with us. We know that you are present. We know that you hear us. Father, we recognize that you are all powerful, that there is no problem we could ever present to you which would be a challenge for you. With you, Father, all things are possible. Jesus told us to trust you. Jesus told us to not worry about tomorrow, but instead to place it in your hands. And there's good reason for that, because Jesus wants us to trust you. And through Jesus, through his example, we can trust you. We can learn what it means to trust you. So with that in mind, Father, we give you our problems today, knowing that you love us, knowing that you can handle them. And we ask you to take them from us and do what's best for us. Let us know if there's anything we're supposed to do, but we're going to need you to really handle the problems in the best way possible. Father, I ask you to send forth your Spirit today. Speak through me. Give me the message for today's program. And Father, please open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to your message. And we ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. Again, my name is Gary Zimek. This is the Gary Zimek Show. We come to you once each week, and we break open the Bible and look at the Sunday Mass readings. This Sunday, we're looking at the readings from the Solemnity of the Epiphany of the Lord, the manifestation of Jesus Christ to all the world. This is, you know, this is a big deal. It's a big deal for us on a personal level, because he wants to be your Savior. He wants to be my Savior. But he wants to use us to share him with those around us so that he becomes everybody's Savior. You know, we can all probably, if we thought about it, point to one or two, maybe more people in our lives who talked about Jesus to us, or who let us know that it's possible to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what I try to do on this show. If you've never heard that before, if it seems like something that might be foreign to you, let me assure you, it's not. This is absolutely something that is doable. I grew up going to Mass. I'm a cradle Catholic. I was baptized into the church as an infant. I went to Catholic school. I went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school. But I never fully appreciated the idea of a personal relationship with Jesus. He was a concept. You know, he was somebody who we read about. And as a Catholic, I believed you were supposed to do good things and to try to lead a good life. I mean, that's all true. But what's really important is that Jesus is real. And somewhere along the line, I did discover that. I credit a few people who have really helped me. And I want to share that with you and let you know Christ is real, and he wants to get involved in your life. He wants to be your friend. He's not an idea. He's not a figment of your imagination. Yes, he's a biographical, historical figure, but he's also still alive today, and he wants to be your friend. And that's my job, I think, to tell you that. So I'm here to tell you that, and I hope you're ready to receive that information. So we're going to talk about the Epiphany today. You know what I need to do first? I need to take a sip of my nice hot cup of coffee. This is what I do before I get started. It's my beverage of the week. I have a nice cup of coffee. I hope you've got a snack and a beverage, if possible. Hope you're ready to get started. Before we look at the gospel, I want to send you to my website, followingthetruth.com, for more information about my work or to get in touch with me. You can reach me through the website. You can sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. It's free of charge. You can get it once a day. It has a Bible verse, and I write it personally. It's not like somebody works for me and does it. I write these reflections every day. I started it during the pandemic, probably. I think it was in April of 2020, and I continue to do it, and I'm going to continue to do it for the foreseeable future, but it's something personal. It comes from me. I look at usually the daily Mass readings. Not always, but a lot of times I get the reflection from the daily Mass readings, and I ask the Holy Spirit what I should write, and I do it, and I send it out. So if you're interested in getting that, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. And while you're there, you can find out information about my books, including my latest, Let Not Your Heart... No, that's the Daily Reflection. Know the name of your book, Gary. Let Go of Anger and Stress. And it's a book about the Holy Spirit. And if you want to learn to let the Holy Spirit work in your life and help you to let go of anger and stress, give that book a read. I think you're going to appreciate it. So followingthetruth.com is the place for all of that. Okay, so... today's gospel for the solemnity of the Epiphany. Remember, on this show, we start with the gospel. We let the gospel lead the way. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising, and we have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" A couple of points that stand out. I'm going to continue on with the gospel, but a couple of points that stand out. One thing for sure is I find this interesting. So Jesus, according to the Hebrew Scriptures, is to be born in Bethlehem. So the Jewish people knew, or they should have known, that the Savior was to be born in Bethlehem. And the Magi were looking for Jesus. Now, they were sincerely looking to see Jesus and to do him homage. Herod, on the other hand, Herod being insecure, feeling threatened by another potential rival, he was not looking for Jesus for the right reasons. He was looking for him to do away with him. And here's what I really find interesting. Herod is troubled, right? And all Jerusalem with him. When Herod's not happy, nobody's happy, right? So this guy is, by all historical accounts, and there are some extra biblical sources which detailed information about Herod. Flavius Josephus was a Jewish historian, and he wrote about some biographical descriptions of King Herod, and by all accounts, he was not a good man. He was a very nasty person, very insecure, always feeling threatened. So Herod wanted to do away with Jesus. But check this out. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, the religious leaders, okay, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea." They knew where he was. They knew where he was born. Herod knew that he was born. So there, it's not like nobody knew that the Messiah had been born. Herod was looking to kill him. The Magi are on their way looking for him. And I find it very interesting that the religious leaders of the time, they weren't in Bethlehem. Isn't that amazing? Now, you know, I think there's a lesson. Now, before we take this and look and say, see, these leaders, it's the religious leaders. These guys are hypocrites. I think we all have to look at ourselves and recognize the fact that sometimes we can become self-righteous, too. And we think, well, I go to church every week, right? And look, I'm guilty of this. I think this way sometimes, and it's wrong. And it's something, when I read this, I have to take a step back and remember that just because we go to church each week, just because we read our Bible, just because we know the details of our Catholic faith, right? It doesn't mean that we should feel self-confident and entitled and look down on other people. And look, I'm serious, we can all do this at times. You know, I hate to bear the bad news to you, but sometimes we can do that. I just say this to remind all of us, and I'm talking to me too, that we need to be careful. and we need to be careful that we are not alienating people, that we are not excluding people, you know? Because Jesus was in Bethlehem. The scriptures clearly stated this. But for some reason, these guys, these religious people who should have known better, they weren't buying it. They weren't buying what was written in their scriptures. So somewhere along the line, they got off base. That's why it's important to really understand the Bible and to really pray and stay close to the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit, because you don't want to miss the Savior. Jesus can appear in many different ways. A lot of times we're unexpected. He's unexpected. But just be careful. Be open-minded. All right? Be open-minded to the working of Christ in unexpected ways. I guess that's the best way I can put this. So Herod secretly called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage," right? So he's setting them, I mean, he's lying to them, and he's trying to find out where Jesus is so he can go kill him. After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. When they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. I always like that. They departed from their country by another way. Fulton Sheen looked at this, and I think he made the comment that they went home another way. They were changed. You know, you can look at that. They left for their country by another way. You can look at that in a couple of different ways. And I think that's really a cool way to look at it, to understand that they were changed when they had that encounter with Jesus. And I put it out there for us to consider, are we changed through our encounter with Christ? You know, whether you receive him in the Eucharist, whether you encounter him in prayer or in the other sacraments, are you letting him change you? And it's a challenge for all of us. Change us to the point where we begin to show the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Those fruits that the Holy Spirit should be producing in us if we let him. The fruits as detailed by St. Paul of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Is that what your life looks like? And, for all of us, I look at this list. My book, Let Go of Anger and Stress, focuses on those fruits, and I do a chapter on each one. So I'm familiar with them. But there are a lot of days when I look at my life and I say, I'm not producing enough of those fruits. Holy Spirit, please help me. And then I need to learn to be humble enough to cooperate with the Holy Spirit so I can look more like Christ. You know, once I have that encounter with him, am I looking like him? Am I letting him have an effect on me? I should be, because he's counting on me to share him with those around me. The first reading comes from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. "Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you." See, your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. The Savior is here. And for those of us who live 2020 years after the birth of Christ, we have no excuse. We are not waiting for the Messiah anymore. He's here. It's just a matter of you and me moving closer to him, accepting him as our Lord and Savior, letting him rule over our lives. It's up to us now. "See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about. All gather and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow. For the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. the wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill your dromedaries from Midian and Ephah. All from Sheba shall come bearing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. Now, this is all prophecy alluding to what's going to happen. The Savior is born and people will come from all around. And this is what the Magi represent, bringing gold, frankincense, proclaiming the praises of the Lord, giving him homage, which is exactly what we see in the appearance of the Magi in Bethlehem, worshiping the Lord. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 72, Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice, and your afflicted ones with judgment. Justice shall flower in his days, and profound peace till the moon be no more. May he rule from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall offer gifts. The kings of Arabia and Seba shall bring tribute. All kings shall pay him homage, and nations shall serve him. For he shall rescue the poor when he cries out, and the afflicted when he has no one to help him. He shall have pity for the lowly and the poor. The lives of the poor he shall save. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. And, you know, this is the reminder for us. Our relationship with Jesus, right? It should be personal, but it shouldn't be private. That's what faith is. Faith has to be personal. Me and Jesus, one-on-one, we need to have a personal relationship. That's what he wants. He wants to have that with you. And that begins by you and me turning to him and saying, Lord, come into my life. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. It's a conscious decision that we have to make. And Lord, rule over my life. I surrender my life to you. So that personal surrender to Jesus, meaning he's in charge of my life. And, you know, that's really a process. We could say it once, but it's something we really have to do every day to re-surrender to him, recommit ourselves to him. Lord, I surrender this day to you, this particular situation. I think I should buy a new car, Lord, but I only want to do it if you think it's right, or should I use the money elsewhere? These are the kinds of things we should pray about and really surrender everything to him. It's hard, especially when it comes to your finances, your family, you know, it's hard, your career, surrendering them to Jesus, not easy. But that's what he wants. And see, that's where you're going to find the peace. So once we do that on a personal level, then it really shouldn't stop there, because there's people around you, and I've said this before on the show, I know it for a fact, that I really believe that it's true, not just in my life, but in your life as well. There are people around you at church who don't know it's possible to have that personal relationship with Christ. They've never encountered him one-on-one in that personal way. But see, it's up to you to tell them it's possible and to show them. When somebody's friends with Jesus, it's really apparent. I know there are certain people that I've looked at in my life who I just know they're friends with Jesus. They know him. And there's something very inviting about that. When I look at somebody like that, I think, wow, I want to be like them. But see, you want to be like that person for others. But it starts with your personal friendship, relationship with Jesus. And then it extends to those in the world around you, those who you can affect with your life. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. That's what he wants. But it might be up to you to introduce him to people so that they can adore him. You know, it's pretty cool, and it does work. I'm telling you, it does work. And he will use you if you tell him you're willing to be used in that way. Let's look at the second reading. It's from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning in verse 2. Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation. it was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise of Jesus Christ through the gospel. When Jesus came, he first came to minister to the chosen people. But then his mission expanded so that he would be taken, his message, his gospel would be proclaimed to the Gentiles as well as the Jewish people. And that's why St. Paul was known as the apostle to the Gentiles. So Jesus primarily ministered to the chosen people. He was sent to be the Messiah to the Jews, but that was only part of his mission. Then Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles. He took the message of Jesus to various foreign lands, as did the apostles of Christ. And that trickles down over the years to you and me as well. So now we can be called disciples as well. And we can claim Jesus as our own personal Lord and Savior, even if we are Gentiles. So that's the message today, the Epiphany of the Lord. The light shines in the darkness. The light of the world is here. He comes to shine his light, not just to a specific group of people, to the entire world, which for you and me, as disciples who are called to share the gospel, that opens things up and reminds us that we should be sharing Jesus with everyone. And so much of that begins with the way we treat other people. You don't necessarily need to preach from the Bible right from the beginning. Make sure you treat people nicely. Be kind. So many times that gets lost in today's world. But if you do that, you can make a big difference. Okay, I want to thank you for listening to the program. I want to ask for you a favor from you. As we begin this new year, I really need to get some new monthly sponsors for my work, for my ministry. So if you are able to sponsor my program and my podcast, my daily podcast, as well as this show and my daily newsletter, it would really help me if you're able to sign up to be a monthly donor. You can do that by going to followingthetruth.com. I would greatly appreciate it. If you're unable to do that for whatever reason and you can make a one-time donation, that would help me keep going as well. It's still a very challenging time in this COVID-19 world. Speaking, and which is primarily how I made my living, it's off the table right now. There's possibly some opportunities that might develop this year, but it's still far from certain. Anything you can do to help me out would be greatly appreciated. I want you to remember, I pray for you every day. You and your families, please pray for me as well. I would really appreciate that. And let people know about this show if you enjoy it, okay? And if you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. And by the way, if I didn't say it, in order to make a donation, just go to followingthetruth.com. Click on donate. You're able to donate securely through PayPal. And that really helps me out. I hate to ask for money, but it's the only way that I can keep going. And I honestly need a little help to keep going forward in a new year. I know the Lord will provide if he wants me to be here, but he wants me to ask you. So that's what I'm doing. Hey, God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. And I look forward to being with you next week right here on the Gary Zimek Show. See ya.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code REDBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.